You're listening to the Online Pastor Coach Podcast, the show that brings you new and fresh ways to connect with your digital church, with your hosts, Joey Santos and Jason Morris.
Now, I just thought, you know, it'd be good for us to come back and have conversations like we had before. We got to, it's just good to meet with you and talk. I mean, that's that's old. But it's good to be back. You know, one thing I want to do, I want to bring, last year we talked about that group of guys with Jeff. We're going to talk about the consulting and the networking and all that stuff.
Oh, right, yeah.
We talked about inviting guys in to each other's podcasts. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about we do that also. We start bringing
absolutely. That would be a slam dunk. Just hearing from those guys, because each of them come from a different flavor or different expression of digital ministry.
Yes.
Just like with you, you know, doing digital as a means to get into third spaces that people aren't thinking about for churches.
Yeah.
That is an expression of digital ministry that most people aren't thinking about. They're thinking about like multi-site into big buildings, or they're thinking using digital to get into people's living rooms. But what you're doing is getting into third spaces, which is different. And it is a little bit different even in the way that you approach content and the way that you create content. That we've already discovered in lockdown and COVID lockdown, that the way that you create content is different for the living room than it is for the big room. But what about the bar? It's different still. The way you construct it is different. Now, it might have some similarities and overlap from each, because it kind of meets it in the middle with your group sizing, but it's still different though.
It is. And no, it is. And it's learning, to me, has been a learning curve, because I came from, you know, pretty much 20 plus years of big room church experience.
Right.
Moving into one, you know, church is no longer my main source of income. So I left the church environment for that, but continued the ministry in a micro church model. And really, I'll be honest with you, I'm just falling in love with that model, because it's one of those things that you're like, man, this is different. It doesn't make the other one wrong. But once you experience this more intimate, conversational model, it really kind of changed your perspective on church. Right. And then you try to bring the digital aspect into the micro church. And because, you know, I think that's a question I had for you. I mean, we had this gap in this conversations, and then virtual reality just started to come in stronger than ever. And based on your experience, where do you think the state of the digital ministry is today? Like, what has changed? Because we predicted last year that churches like, I don't want to know anything about online ministries, digital ministries, because they're taking away people from our chairs, which again, the decline is still there. But do you see a flip there, or do you see a change of approach on how digital ministries now are adapting to the change as well as churches? Do you see any happening?
I do see one thing that, and we have, you know, research to back this up even, and it confirms a lot of the anecdotal conversations that I've had with a lot of church leaders, is that one thing is for sure is that hybrid is here to stay. So that's not going away. And you can try to get people back in the building, and you know, you might be halfway successful in doing it, but you're never going to be as successful enough to be able to stop doing digital unless you want to shrink your church. Because even if your strategy is to get people into the building, which is a valid strategy, by the way, I'm not, you know, sometimes I get
Yeah.
the reputation for being anti-building or anti-church. I'm not.
Right there with you.
I'm just saying that's not the only tool out there. And there's
Yeah.
plenty of, you know, cottage industry around that particular mode and expression
Yeah.
of church that I feel like I don't need to address it that much. And I need to highlight all the other things that could be done that we tend to ignore because nobody's talking about. So,
Yes.
even if that is your strategy, right? And you want to dial that one in really tightly, your first impression is still your digital expression anyway. So if you want to get
Yeah.
people in the door, you're going to get them in the door digitally before they will ever come into your door physically. So you're doing hybrid. Whether you realize it or not, you're doing hybrid. Now, that hybrid expression might be not as dialed in on the digital side as it would be on the physical, because you're doing things like you're showing them what the church service would be like if you were to show up. And you're not creating calls to action that are digitally native because you're assuming that they're going to show up and you're trying to draw them into that. And so
Let
you don't
me,
have to worry as much about it.
but let me ask a question there though, because that's where I see the tension is many times churches, they are streaming their services in order to attract people into the building. It takes me back on the attractional model of church. It's like we're gonna create this bells and whistles experience that's what gonna bring people in. But if I stop doing that, they're not going to stay. You know, whatever bring them in with, that's what they stay. Do you
Ooh,
see
yeah.
the same way I see is sometimes what I see
Great.
online, but when I walk in person, oh, hold on a second, that's not what I see, right?
Right.
So many times, because it's a very cut up image, it's a very cut up experience, it's a very because when you see a pastor preaching on the stage, or you see your worship team on the stage in a digital format from home, and you say, let me go check this building. What the implication of really giving people a real experience of what that looks like? Because they have to cross some obstacles before they sit in a chair to have the experience that they were having at home. Do you see that
No,
tension?
I do see that tension because you don't want to bait and switch them for sure. If that's your strategy, if your strategy is getting them into the building so that, and here's, okay, we probably need to unpack this too, because I would hope that the goal really isn't to get people in the building. I would hope, right? Because that's kind of short-sighted. For a lot of pastors, I think the question, you just need to ask why about five times, you know, like a good business person would do to get to the real meat of what people are actually trying to do. Because why do you want to do digital to get people in your building? Okay, great. That's what I want to do. Fine. Why? Well, if I get them in the building, then they'll become a part of my church. Why is that important? And some pastors, some church leaders, they don't think that far. They just want to get them into the building so they can become a part of the church. And they don't know the reason why that is important. And I would hope that they are thinking that way first, where they're thinking, okay, the reason why I want to get them in the building is so that they can be a relational connection with other believers, so that they can come to know Christ, so that they can grow in their faith, so that we can actually make disciples who make disciples, right? That's what I hope it ends up being, the whys behind that. Why do you want to make disciples? Because Jesus told us to. Why is that important? Because he died for me, and that's all I care about is obeying Jesus, right? So there's that why that's out there. The end, we have to, you know, begin with the end in mind. So it's like that way we don't get stuck into particular methods that may or may not reach that end goal, which for me is I want to obey Jesus. Jesus told me to make disciples. Doing a building and a church service and groups and all of the things that the traditional model provides, I would hope, is moving towards that end instead of becoming an end in and of itself, right?
Exactly.
But you have to be intentional about that. Otherwise, questions. It's like, why do I want views on my video? Is it so that I can feel good about myself because I got more views than last week? You know, I mean, it cannot be an end in and of itself, right? Why do I want more people to show up? Why, you know, and is that even a good reason? If I would hope that all of us are thinking about making disciples. I would hope, because right? At the end of the day.
But the tension is on both sides, right? Like you said.
Yes.
The tension is on both sides. I want more people watching. I want more people in my chairs. And that becomes
why though?
Apparently,
why do you want more people watching, or why do you want more people in the chairs? It's worth unpacking that and saying, okay, I want to make disciples. And now that I've got a more secure why and a more deep and I don't know, it's a more compelling why than just a particular method, right? Now I've got a deeper why, and it frees me up then to say, okay, which method then is most effective toward that goal? So my goal is not to get people in the building. That might be a step toward the goal, but my goal is to make disciples. All right, what are the tools at my disposal toward that goal? And if the pathway for people is a digital experience that then takes them to a physical experience, well, the step between and the tension that one feels is twofold. One is you got to be really careful you don't do a bait and switch with people, because they will experience you digitally. And I would hope that what they experience digitally kind of matches what you hope they will experience physically. So if you have interaction with people, if you're talking and you're praying with people and all of those things online, digitally, and they show up and no one says boo to them, for example, that's a bait and switch, because you have just sold them community.
Yes.
And they show up on site and you give them a show.
Yeah.
Program.
There we go.
Right.
I think, and I think that's part of a very healthy discussion that churches need to start having. I mean, they should be having this discussion for a long time, because discipleship really happens within a relationship. So discipleship doesn't have through a program. You know, now churches, I think churches believe that through the programs that they put together, the hope is, you know, people are going to build relationships, and consequently and accidentally, discipleship happens. Meaning, there's not much of intentionality.
Because here's what happens. So there's a couple of things. There's a couple of things that you said that I really want to make sure they get nuanced and teased out. One is, you said the discipleship happens best within the context of relationship. I personally don't believe that. I think it's even deeper than that. That discipleship happens best within the context of friendship, which is a little different than relationship. You can be in a relationship with someone and not be their friend. I know a lot of people who know their pastor, have a relationship with their pastor, but they're not friends with their pastor. And I don't think it is by accident that Jesus, toward the end of his ministry with his disciples, where there was a moment in which he said, I no longer call you servant. I call you friends.
There you go.
You are doing friends on mission. That is when discipleship is really happening, not just relationship. Because when people are in like the traditional model and they do small groups for 6 weeks, are they in relationship? A little bit.
Yeah.
Friendship? Probably not. Is discipleship working? Maybe. You know, that is being really intentional about proximity and not intentional about community. Whereas in the digital space, because we don't have proximity, we have to be really intentional about community, hoping that proximity would occur, rather than being really intentional about proximity, hoping that community will occur. You know what I'm saying?
So that means you're talking about a very conceptual proximity, because it's a proximity that translates into real deep relationship. Is that the idea that, you know, here I am, I have a relationship with, you know, most people. I have a relationship, relationship with a lot of people in my life. But there's some people that we try to have the relationship in a deeper level.
Right.
And that's where discipleship happens. It makes me think of, you know, God himself, right? He created us to have this deep level of relationship. But throughout Old Testament and New Testament, what we see is his creation doing this. Like, yeah, I respect you, God. I know who you are, but I don't want to go to this deeper relationship with you, which that's where discipleship, based on what you described, discipleship happens. And throughout the Bible, we see that, you know, that's what God really wants from us. He doesn't want us to just go through a set of to-do lists, pretending that this actually what affirms my relationship with God, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not be just showing up for church services, not be just showing up for groups, not just showing up for those things. And those things are not substitute to my relationship with God the way he designed. Well, that probably show us how we should relate to people that we're pursuing to become disciples.
Yes, right? There's so many things that you just said right there. Yes, so many things that you just said right there that I feel like need to be echoed in the very way that God's being is expressed, where even the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's not by accident either. And he has chosen for us as human beings made in the image of God to be brought into this life instantly in a family. So biologically, God created us to be completely dependent on others, our family, our close-knit relationships that go long-term, you know, for a good set of years.
Yeah.
Right. That never stop, you know, blood is thicker than water kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't get around it. You know, no matter what you try to do legally, you know, that blood is still there. And there is a reason for that, that God has created. Because God could have created us in any way, shape, or form, right? He could have just had us come out completely independent as complete adults, right? But he intentionally created us as dependent little babies that require intimate relationship with other people so that we would imprint from the very beginning of our lives together a relationship that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is community.
Yeah.
We are brought into this world in community, in a tight-knit, intimate relationship. And that is why Jesus in John 17 says, I want them, he prayed for us that we be one as he and the Father is one.
Yeah.
Right? You can't get more one than that. So the idea of relationship and community is so primordially and fundamentally important to the way that we express ministry and just humanity in general.
Yeah.
Right. We need to bring it back to first principles and say, okay, if the main thing is community, relationship, friendship, all of those things, deep relationship, that's what I'm trying to get across. Deep relationship, not just surface stuff, deep relationship. Mm-hmm. If that is what we're trying to express here, church as family, right? Like even the qualifications of a pastor are that he ruled his family well, because if he can't rule his family, how can he rule the household of God? It's like, it's all together. It's the basic fractal by which everything runs.
Yeah. Right?
So in the same way, God did not design, and these things exist because of the brokenness of our world and all of that is fine. But God did not design for babies to be born in orphanages. He designed them to be born in families.
Yes.
And the reason why we have orphanages is because the family isn't working, you know, because life happens and we live in a broken world and all that stuff exists. But no one would argue the fact that it's better for babies to be born in families than in orphanages or institutions.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It's just better, right? Because
it
the
is.
Institution tries to do things at scale and it won't be relationally bound because they're trying to deal with all of these kids all at the same time, right? But unfortunately, that's how we tend to think about a successful church. That
so
it's
run
like an orphanage and not like a family. And
there we go.
What are we doing?
There we go. I mean, that's because the Bible talks about, right, when we're born again, that's a very expression of when we're born again. We're infants in our walk with God.
Right.
And that's why we need that community around us. That's because we need the community around us. So let me ask. Let's talk about
like
this for a second.
In 2 John, it talks about this too.
Yeah.
Where John says, you know, you have many guardians but few fathers. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
And I feel like in many ways, the way that we're, and this is true, it doesn't, I'm not throwing shade on a particular model or anything. All of us, whether it's digital, physical, can have this particular tendency to treat people like, treat these new believers or new people that Jesus is bringing our way like a guardian and not like a father. Right.
Yeah.
Whether it's digital or physical, it doesn't matter. Right. We just, because digital is newer, it gives us more freedom to try newer things. And, you know, that's basically all it is. But especially today in this hybrid world that we're living in, digital is expressing physical probably more than it should.
I know. So that's what kind of like, gets me is, do you think it, regardless of the model, digital, micro, or the big box church, what would be the steps? Like, how can we start taking the steps in the direction of moving from a program driven attempt to build the relationships to skip that and go straight to the relationship? So how, because the thing I always say, I said the number one thing that I think churches should be teaching, the number one thing is how people should relate to each other. Like the church should be the master of the number one place when people think like, I don't know how to relate to other people. I'm going to go to church, because the church should be the master of all to teach people how to relate to others, because the Bible is just full of teachings. Jesus is spending 3 years teaching people. Here's how you relate to each other. Here's how I want you to do to relate to people. Here's how I want you to treat people. Here's how I want you to become, because you want to become this thing the way I designed for you. That's how you're going to relate to people. And my dilemma in ministry always has been like, you know, this dilemma of, okay, let's build this and this and this program, and through those programs, people are going to build the relationships. Is there a way to, do you think there's a way to skip that? Do you think, like,
I do.
Is there a way for us to create an environment?
It's harder.
Because you know as well as I know, like, you know as well as I know, it's almost easier to skip the process on a digital platform, because digital platform, initially, because I don't know you, people immediately turn into, like, I can be vulnerable. I can be honest. I can be open. I can tell you how I feel. I can tell what's going on in my life, which is kind of funny to me, because they skip the whole, process there that we know in a church, and they jump right into that end that it's like, I have a need and I feel comfortable enough here, primarily because you don't know me, right? Like, we don't have a friendship yet, but I can go straight here. I think it's a better if I can build a relationship. So if there's a trust, there's a better support there for through a relationship, through friendship, it's sustainable, because otherwise it's just a one-time stop thing where I'm going to tell you, I'm going to dump on you everything I know. And then
Right.
I'm
It's
going to
the new
walk away.
confessional.
Exactly. But we don't want that. We
Yeah.
actually want to
Right.
build real relationships, meaningful relationships, meaningful friendships. And I'm thinking here, like, twisting my head on, like, how do we skip that whole program-driven strategy that the church has been using for the last God knows how many years, for decades? The church have been relying on, let's build this set of programs and hope that those programs are going to build the discipleship. We're going to build these relationships. Is there a way for the church to skip that, in your opinion, and jump right into showing people, allowing people, teaching them how to go straight to the relationship point of it?
I do. It's a tough sell. Because it's harder on the front end. Basically, it's like making friends with people. You're skipping everything, right? You're going straight to the relationship and you're just making friends. So that's one of the things we miss when Jesus was like, come follow me. It's like, come hang out. And you never hear Jesus saying to anyone, hey, we're going to meet at the temple at, 9:30. We're going to talk through the book of Isaiah. He never does that. He's just like, hey, let's hang out. Come follow me. It's like, I'm going to Levi's party. Let's hang out. He was making friends. And oddly enough, with all of our institutions and all of our technology, that right there, the relational and the community side of life is woefully missing, which is precisely why all of the studies are saying, with especially through COVID, that we have another epidemic on us, and it's not COVID, it's loneliness. And people are going into digital spaces to combat loneliness. And another thing, this is a little bit of a side topic that I think would be an interesting play. I don't know. This is like a, I'm going to diverge for a little bit. So, there could be a whole new set of opportunities for the church to start with where people are at when they're trying to address loneliness. Because if you ask the average person what they would do to combat the loneliness that they feel, their answer is very rarely going to a church
There we
service.
go.
What they say is go to the park with my friends or just go to the park in general. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. What if the park were the church? What if with AR we did like Pokemon Go type of experiences that brought people together as they experience God's creation together and had activities create together to create friendships, combat the loneliness, hang? What if that you were tapping into something kind of like what you're tapping into at church at the bar? Because people, when they experience loneliness, they go to the bar for a relationship, right? And the whole environment is designed around people relating to one another, right? That's why part of the reason I personally believe in Acts chapter 2, one of the markers of the church was that they broke bread together. There's something about having a shared experience or a shared meal or a shared drink that brings people together. Because the point is not the shared meal or the shared drink or the shared experience. That's not the point. Just like the building is not the point. The point is why? To bring people together in relationship. That's why, right? And so what's great about some of the stuff that you're doing at the bar is that you're creating, is it a program? A little bit, but it's not nearly as much, programmed as it is. You've got a relational environment to start with instead of trying to build a relational environment in an institution. And that's the bait and switch that's occurring. So people are lonely.
Yeah.
They show up at a bar to not feel loneliness. Now you're facilitating conversations around the topics that really matter for people. And what do you know? Friendships, relationships are occurring, and discipleship at the same time. That is something where I feel like churches could learn from. So because the church is programmed around content consumption and not around relationships, the way that we do our services, the way that we structure our buildings, they're in rows instead of, it's built for scale, not for community. But all bars aren't set up that way.
No,
they're set up for community.
I don't think you got off subject. I think you actually hit the point. You're thinking that you're talking about the church, the bar. The thing that just hit me, that I start to kind of laugh about it, is because one of the things that happened to us when we gather together on Sunday at the church, the bar, that will drive most churches across the globe crazy, mainly in America, is that we never start on time, because I can't start on time because people are talking, people are like chatting, people are like, they don't want to, and I hate to stop that fellowship time because you're going to start the service, because
that's but just as much disciple making as whatever content you're going to talk about. Right.
We never start on time. And listen, I do, like you said, I have a little bit of a church thing like going, right? So we have a countdown on the screen. So we play the 5-minute countdowns just so people can look at it. It hits zero. And all of a sudden we have another 10 minutes that I have like, hey, people, we probably need to sit down. Let's kind of start a conversation, blah, blah, blah. But again, that's what we're there for. The number one reason why we did this at the bar, so people can build relationships. And while we build relationships, we're going to jump into the Bible and learn more about it. That's that, you know, so I think that's the like, I think of myself, and I was the programming guy in church, right? I was the guy who's like, everybody keep the schedule, you know, countdown, let's go, lights and
no,
all
I
that
get
stuff.
It. It's yes, on time. Totally get
and,
it.
And all of a sudden I find myself like, well, I guess we're not going to start on time. We're scheduled to start 10 o'clock with the service. And guess what?
So I got some ideas. Because you know how a lot of bars, they'll put like these trivia questions or whatever on the screen?
Yes.
And they'll play these little games and stuff like that. I often wonder, what if we did church like that? So people show up and there are these, you know, discussion questions on the screen. I was doing like youth ministry where if you turn the, you know, the background music that everybody plays now, if you turn the background music, the volume up where people are having to shout to one another to talk. And then when you want everybody to shut up, because they're all like talking, blah, 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 like you turn up the music and it's kind of annoying. And then all of a sudden you turn the volume off to zero.
Yeah.
Everybody's quiet. Because they were like shouting, and then all of a sudden everything's like,
I know,
everybody stops like,
what happened?
And that's when you do your thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like magic. And so mind, I'm like thinking, if there were discussion questions on a particular passage of scripture or a particular story where you want people to relate to one another about their past or whatever, and then you had like 10 minutes of that going on, and it was just super relaxed, you've got enough margin for little things to happen. And, you know, the countdown's going, you know, the last 30 seconds, music is going up and up and up and up. And then all of a sudden, it drops. Then you get up and say, okay, tell me about some of the discussions that you had around the tables. You know, who's gonna be second, you know? And then somebody says, oh, you know, we had this cool discussion about this and this and this and this. And then over here, we had a cool discussion about this and this and this. And that to me feels like church, in the way that 1 Corinthians 14 expresses it, that each one of us bring a word of knowledge.
Exactly.
Each one of us bring a song, bring a scripture, bring, you know, all of these things where it's more of a communal experience rather than focusing on one person as the expert. You're just the facilitator and you're just kind of guiding people. Like
I tell, we gotta go here, but one thing I tell the church tomorrow all the time when I start speaking, said, I listen, well, number one thing, I'm not the authority here. The Bible is the authority. So don't look at me like I'm the ultimate authority. The Bible's the authority. I'm just a mall cop. All I have is a flashlight. I cannot do anything to you. So all I have is a flashlight. I shine the light on things, and it is a great experience. But Jason, this is a great conversation though. Like this, I like it because we have to stop now. But we want to talk more. I like this. So
right, and that's one way that a church could program in the bar,
exactly.
In the same way that you would program a service in a big way.
Absolutely.
You're still thinking about programming. You're still being intentional. And you can do that in the digital space too, but you have to be intentional about it. If you're not intentional about it, then things tend to fall to the wayside.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Online Pastor Coach Podcast. Make sure to visit our website, onlinepastorcoaching.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, and many other podcast platforms so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. If you like this show, you might want to check out our ebook, A Local Church with a Global Reach. Joey and Jason are available for private coaching. Just send us a message. Now go make a global impact for the kingdom until next time.